Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus, for this is true revival. Love is all they need, everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King, and I have a question for you because my brother, Reverend Tony Kemp, is here, and you've been caught up into heaven. But here's my question for our audience. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you were caught up by God into heaven and shown the glories of that realm? Would you like that? Because our brother Tony Kemp has actually experienced that very thing. Now, we know of you, of course, in our ministry now because you've ministered with us, and we've seen miracles, signs, and wonders. In fact, we were at a meeting together last night, Brother Tony, where you know, like metal was dissolving out of bodies and pins were dissolving and people that had fused parts were able to move them. I mean, it was amazing. But you got a lot of that anointing from an experience that you had a number of years ago. Yes. When you were sovereignly by God caught up into heaven. Yes. So I'm wondering if you could share that testimony.
Yes.
With us.
Yes. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 1972 in a Baptist church. I had a friend of mine who was the son of an Assembly of God pastor, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in other languages then. I was 16 years of age. At 18, I began preaching the gospel. And I was in the Church of God in Christ, and I just preached the gospel. And really, to be honest, I didn't have any signs, wonders, miracles. I had no dramatic supernatural experiences, but I wanted them. But I did not know how to access the heavens.
Right.
And I just served the Lord and just walked with the Lord. But something happened in 1989, 4 o'clock in the morning. I had an angel come to me. He was between, 5'10" and 6 feet tall. And my spirit left my body.
Now, just a second. Okay. So you are already in ministry. Been since you were 18 years of age.
Yes.
You preach the gospel. You are familiar with the supernatural because you had shared with me earlier that you had, you know, had a little bit of prophetic flowing, and
yes,
that you were aware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You were a tongue talker and all that.
Yes.
But you were awakened out of your sleep. Like, how did the angel come at 4 in the morning?
He just appeared, and I left. So I left my body. I sped through the heavens. And one of the things that I noticed...
Just a second. I need more detail.
Okay.
So is this in your bedroom? Did you wake up from a sleep?
I can't really say that I woke up. It was, how do I explain this? I'm sleeping, and then the angel is there, and then I'm gone.
Wow.
He actually takes me up, and I travel with him through the heavens.
Now, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it sounds like that's very similar. Like you say, okay, was I asleep or awake or whatever, but I know I went.
Yes.
And I know that angel appeared. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What did the angel look like?
He was about 5'10", 6 feet tall. He had regular clothes that a normal person would have. He had dark hair. He's a very friendly angel, young, probably I would say maybe like in his 30s.
The appearance of a 30-year-old,
mm-hmm.
you know, so he appeared like a man.
Oh, absolutely like a man.
And that's biblical because oftentimes through the scripture you'll see that.
Yes. And so when he took me up, I just, for lack of a better term, we flew through the heavens together. I saw, you know, stars, constellations, but it was very, very fast. But I also saw the souls of those who had died and were leaving Earth.
Wow.
And, of course, there were portals, and I saw some that did not go to heaven, but they went into a portal toward the lake of fire. But we went on up to the third heaven.
Okay, that's, you are so full of revelation
mm-hmm.
that it takes me a while to catch up, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, you're flying through this cyber realm, and the angel is leading you. You're just kind of with that angel.
Yes.
And you're actually seeing as people are departing, they're dying in the earth, you actually got to see their spirits rise up.
Yes.
Wow. And it was from all over the world?
All over the earth, in the part of the earth that I saw.
Wow. Yeah. And now, these portals that you saw, so some portals would allow to go up and others went down?
Yes. For example, you would have, for lack of a better term, gateways or openings or doorways into the third heaven.
Right.
But then there were gateways, doorways, and openings that led to the lake of fire.
And you just had a knowing,
you
know, knowing that one was toward hell and one was toward heaven.
In that realm, you just know,
you know
things.
That is so true. You know things that you have no idea how you know them. You just know them.
You just have instant knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What did that do to you emotionally when you saw that?
I was so caught up and amazed at what was happening. I was trying to observe everything.
Right.
And my focus was not really on those souls that were going into the lake of fire at that time, because we were speeding through the heavens so fast.
Right.
And then we landed in heaven.
Wow.
And
when you landed in heaven, okay, was there a pearly gate?
Well, here's the problem. I think one of the reasons why Paul says, I saw some things in heaven, I heard some things in heaven that's not lawful to utter. I don't have a frame of reference for some of the things that I saw and witnessed, and I don't know how to describe them. For example, yes, I did see the pearly gate. It was absolutely beautiful. Can I describe it? No. It is beyond description, and any words that I would choose, honestly, for me, would lessen it. But it was amazing.
Now, did you go through that gate?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And let me say this. There's a song by Mercy Me that says, I can only imagine, you know, will I praise the Lord?
Right.
Will I fall to my knees?
Yeah.
Will I shout hallelujah? When I landed in heaven, I was on the ground and the joy of the Lord exploded.
Wow.
So much so I vibrated.
Wow.
I couldn't say hallelujah. I couldn't say praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I literally shook with the joy of the Lord. It exploded. And then it was as if I understood what Peter meant when he said it is joy indescribable and full of glory, or joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then also in Ephesians 3, where it talks about that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, in the original language, it means to be so full of God that you vibrate.
Wow, that is
and
awesome.
I was vibrating with the Father's joy.
You know, I want to confirm that, because in 1994, I had my first visitation into the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing that I encountered was all of heaven was actually laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the whole atmosphere was filled with laughter. Mm-hmm. God allowed me to hear that for a particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get over the amount of laughter and joy, ecstasy that was in that heavenly place.
And of course, you know, I saw flowers that were alive, trees that were alive. And what's interesting, and how do I describe this? I'm looking at flowers and they're, in a sense, I'm aware that they are aware of me. And they're praising the Lord, and I'm seeing musical notes dance in the air, and they move toward the throne of the Father. And here's what's interesting. They actually go into the Father. Now, this was interesting to me as an African American, my culture. I heard this music that literally would just flow, just flowed. And so I thought, well, where is the beat?
Right.
And the word of the Lord came to me saying, you're in a place where there's no time.
Oh,
and then that's when it began to
hit me.
That I was going to be moving into a revelation at some point of eternity versus time.
Wow.
And so then eventually I was taken to a distance from the throne of the Father, and I could not see the Father clearly. In other words, I could not make out any facial features. I could see the figure of what we would call a man. And there was a glory cloud that surrounded him. And I laughingly say, apparently I didn't believe Paul, who said that the Father dwells in a light that no man can approach or see through, because I kept trying to see through the cloud.
Right.
And I kept trying to see through the light, and it never was successful. Well, here's what I did see. I saw the saints of God on their knees, the sons and daughters of the Father on their knees. And everybody would be up like this, and they would go down like this to worship and love the Father.
Wow.
And everyone was in white, and they all made the same movements in harmony together. At a certain point, this, for lack of a better term, this light and this love came up like a mushroom cloud all at the same time. And here's what it did. The Father goes, and it goes into the Father. And he savors and he enjoys the love of each son and daughter. The next thing that happens is all of a sudden I see this light come out. It burst out of the Father, and the light goes into each son and each daughter.
Wow.
In other words, there is the circle of love.
Wow.
The Father has loved me through Jesus. I love the Father through Jesus. And the circle of love that is in heaven is the circle of love that's on the earth.
Because God is love, and heaven's atmosphere is love, right?
Yes.
And that's how people will know that we are the disciples of Jesus, is by love,
right.
You know? Can I go back? I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. You know, I love hearing people's encounters of heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen the flowers in heaven as well, mm-hmm. but I haven't had the encounter yet of seeing all those music notes and everything. Now, can you describe where you saw the flowers? Was it like a garden or fields? Or
yes. I call them the gardens of God, for lack of a better name. Lack of a better name. And I know, you know, people want to be theological. And
I've seen those gardens also. I've seen it.
But there are gardens there.
It's true.
And, you know, and it's... It was absolutely beautiful. It's heavenly. It's peaceful. It's a place that when you go there, you really don't want to return.
That's true.
You don't want to return. But I knew that I was going to be returning to the earth, and that this was a learning experience for me, because I was to get an experience of the love of the Father and the joy of the Father that you and I could experience through Jesus.
That's awesome. Okay, so you got to see the Father mm-hmm. with his worshipers.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, like he actually showed you the dynamics of what happened when that starts to get activated.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you see?
Well, this is interesting, because the Father quoted to me. First he said this. He said, take notes and learn. And then I began to understand. Then he actually quoted to me a most interesting scripture. And it's in 1 Peter 4:17, where it says, now the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. But if a person goes and looks up the word judgment in the original language, it has to do with measurement. So the question is, what's being measured? What's being measured is what the prophet Moses taught and what the Lord Jesus taught, which is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will love one another. And so the judgment's about how much do I love the Father? I love Jesus, the Holy Spirit. How much do I love my brother?
Wow.
And so the culture of heaven is the culture of love, where each one esteems the other greater than themselves. And so the culture of heaven is supposed to come to the earth.
Wow.
And so when we love each other, we are practicing
the atmosphere
on earth, getting ready for being there, but we're in the realm here.
Wow.
And because we're in the realm there, we gravitate there.
I love it. Now, just before we take a break, because we have to break in just a sec, but I'm just curious about another point you made. Mm-hmm. You said that the Father told you to take notes and learn. So did you actually scribe things in heaven, or how did that work?
No, when he said take notes and learn, that meant to me that I was to pay attention to everything that I saw, everything that I heard, and that this was not just a learning experience for me, but I was to take this message back to earth. And so that was his way of communicating to me.
Wow.
I'm not just giving you this experience for you, because we are all connected to one another. Let me say one last thing. In heaven, everyone is number one with the Father. There are no big I's and little U's.
Wow.
There's no one person who's this important and another person is less important. Everyone is number one.
He values everyone so deeply.
Everyone.
Oh, this is wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing and being faithful with this vision. We're going to be right back, because wouldn't you like to find out more about what God showed Brother Tony Kemp when he went to heaven? I love this. We'll be right back. And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend. Tony, I am thrilled about your visitation. You know, as we study the Word, we find out that some things happen by God's sovereign will,
yes,
which means we have nothing to do with it, which is, this is the kind of experience you had.
Yes.
Your will was not involved. You probably didn't even know you could have such an encounter. And when I had my first experience in heaven, it was a sovereign visitation as well. I didn't know that you could. Mm-hmm. And so God came sovereignly and did it. My will wasn't involved. I hadn't been praying for it. Nothing like that. Mm-hmm. He sovereignly intervened. So there's the sovereign visitation. And then there's the faith, the accessing by faith, mm-hmm. which we see that we can access by the blood of the Lamb, all these different things. In our glory school, we teach people actually how to step into those realms following Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. because the blood has given us access.
Right.
And so it's really exciting to know that as children of God, mm-hmm. that we have this kingdom opened up to us, because, you know, the Father said that we're to fear not because he's chosen gladly to give us the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to explore the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gives us sovereign visitation,
mm-hmm.
like he did Paul and mm-hmm. like John and like yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you share these visitations,
mm-hmm.
it puts faith in us and a hunger in us for more. And God loves that because he knows if he can make us hungry, we'll eat.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he's got a big banquet feast for us. So mm-hmm. Share some more. So we covered about the flowers, the pearly gate you went through, about seeing the Father being worshipped, and, you know, the whole influence of heaven's atmosphere of love. And what else did you see?
Well, it's very interesting because I had to have a theology for some of what I was experiencing.
Right.
And so I probably should share this. John in the book of Revelation, he sees some believers washed white in the blood of the Lamb, and not an angel, but an elder says to him,
right.
Who are these? And he says, sir, you know. And he says, these are they who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Then John is in heaven, and he sees a book that cannot be opened, and he begins crying. Not an angel, but an elder says to him, stop crying, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. And so then you have Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with the bench of three, Peter, James, and John, and all of a sudden here comes the Father in the glory cloud and Moses and Elijah. And then there's this really interesting scripture that I have been curious about for a long time, just sort of stuck into the book of Matthew, where it says Jesus came to life, and then many of the bodies of the saints which had died or slept arose, went into the city, and appeared to many. And the reason I asked God this question was because one of the persons that I saw in heaven was Samuel. I didn't talk to Samuel, but there was a word given to me concerning Samuel. And it had to do with, and this was God's phrase,
right.
The secrets of the seers.
Wow.
And so I will share this concerning the secrets of the seers. First, there's this sovereign heavenly experience where we're caught up into heaven and into glory. But it does not end there, because many times what God says is incomplete. And so one of the secrets of the seers is that you get a revelation or a visitation, And the first thing you do is remember it. The second thing you do is record it. And the third thing you do is you revisit the realm where God gave you the experience.
Oh, wow.
And so why this is important is because when you look at Abraham, who was a prophet,
right.
God says, I want you to offer your son Isaac on Mount Moriah. Now, if Abraham would have thought that was complete, he wouldn't have listened for the next thing. But as he has raised the knife, getting ready to slay his son, representing the father giving his son Jesus,
right.
he hears a voice that says, hey, you've done it in your heart. You don't have to kill him. I know that you reverence me. And so it has to do with the ability to hear and see and recognize a one-time visitation isn't just the Father's will. He wants to catch us up into realms of glory
right.
again and again and again because he wants us to have face-to-face encounters
Amen.
With him.
Yeah, continuously. I think Jesus did.
Because mm-hmm.
he would be with his Father. He said, I only do the things I see my Father do.
Yes.
Now, when you were in heaven, God actually showed you about the works of angels.
Oh, yeah.
And how they would ascend
yes.
and descend. And I would love for you to share about, you know, how God showed you about the parts coming down
yes.
into people's bodies.
Yes. There was this angel that I met. This was interesting. This one had red hair and kind of red, sandy hair. And so he's the one that took me into the body parts room. And so it's like a warehouse, and there's all kinds of body parts there. And so what I was taught was this, that you and I need to hear the word of the Lord, and we need to speak the word of the Lord, and that, for lack of a better term, there are body parts with a person's name on it. They literally have the person's name on
wow.
it. And the reference scripture that the Father gave me was Genesis 28, where you had Jacob who lies down, and the angels of God are not descending,
they're ascending,
descending mm-hmm. to bring the revelation of God and the promises of God into fulfillment. And so what can happen is this. I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. The angel of God goes and gets the body part that the person needs and brings it, but it's in the realm of the invisible. Right. But when I say the word, by his wounds you were healed. Then that body part moves from the realm of the invisible and becomes visible.
Wow.
And it becomes an actual physical body part in the person's body.
A creative miracle.
But here's the key. It's not enough for me to discern it by the Spirit of the Lord. I must declare it to frame it from eternity into time.
Now, in Hebrews 11:3, the scripture says, by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Yes.
So it's a similar principle.
Yes. And the word of God says also in the Hebrew song book that the angels hearken to the voice of his word.
Right.
Well, I am one with the one.
Right.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord.
Right.
And because I'm in Christ Jesus, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Right.
And so when I hear what he says and I say what he says, the angels respond the
exactly.
exact same way.
That is so
and
cool.
And whatever the promise is, now it's brought into manifestation.
Amen. And in Psalm 103, verse 20, it says that they obey the voice of the Lord's command. So,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, so we have to give it voice.
Yes.
We have to give the word of the Lord voice.
Yes.
So since that visitation, now you were taught that in heaven.
Yes.
You were shown that. You were given understanding. And understanding is one of the sevenfold dimensions
yes.
of the Holy Spirit. So not only did you have a knowing, but you had the understanding,
yes.
the workings on how to work it.
Yes.
And so when you came back into earth after this heavenly visitation,
mm-hmm.
did you start to exercise that?
Actually, no. Because sometimes there is this time period between when you get a revelation and when you have processed it
mm-hmm.
to the point where you can bring it into manifestation. Right. And so that literally happened over a period of years. Because in the circles in which I traveled, no one was talking about this.
Right. I understand that.
Yes. So it was strange to me.
Now it's not so strange
yes.
anymore. But,
yes.
But definitely you do now because you started working this. You started working it by faith, at some point you started taking the revelation, because just having a revelation isn't actual possession. You have to work that revelation.
Right.
So you were faithful not only to receive the revelation, to assimilate the understanding, but then to activate it so that it actually brought, because we saw last night, we saw miracles of the metal being dissolved, and we're going to cover this in another program.
Okay.
But we actually saw those miracles, and people were getting replacement therapy where there had been metal, and then all of a sudden they said, the metal's not there anymore. I can feel it. It's gone.
Yes.
And it was replaced with
bone.
With bone.
Yeah.
You know, so this is fascinating. So when you were in heaven, you saw many things that gave you understanding that you're living in the earth. And that is like your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven.
And what's interesting is this. When I was in heaven, I was introduced to this angel. And this angel said, you're going to take God's healing power to the nations.
Amen.
And here's the thing that's interesting. If we're going to see the workings of God, we've got to understand the ways of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And I'll just say this one part. It says in Mark's gospel, where did Jesus get this wisdom that these miracles happen through his hands? And you mentioned the sevenfold spirit of God. So there's a messianic scripture there in Isaiah 11:2 where it says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Amen. And he's anointed you.
Yes.
And he's anointed you. He's anointed you to know the mysteries of God. And my prayer for you is that you will know this place of ascending into that glory presence, into the heavens. You know, those promises have your name on it. And remember this above all else, because it comes from the God of love himself and the atmosphere of heaven itself, that he loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time. So, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.